From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We want to bow now in a word of prayer and look to the Lord to bless this gathering together. Let's pray. Our Lord and our King, we bow before Thee, a thrice holy God. We rejoice that where two or three are gathered in Thy name, Lord, Thou hast said that Thou wilt be there. And we bless Thee for Thy presence. We ask of Thee, O Lord, to brood over this gathering in a particularly special way. We pray, Lord, for every hearer of Thy word, that Thy Spirit would be pleased to apply the truth, that, Lord, Thy word might have entrance into each and every heart, and Thy name might be glorified by the effective work of the Spirit of God. Lord, glorify Thy name. Give help in the proclamation. Give help in the hearing. And give help in the responding to the Word of God. Lord, do us good now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you have a copy of God's Word, I would invite you to turn to the book of Isaiah and the chapter 6. And we will take the opportunity to read the first 10 verses together. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at the verse number 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy,
is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We're going to sing now our second hymn, I Hear the Words of Love, I Gaze Upon the Blood.
Nobody likes it, everybody is susceptible to it, but none of us can do anything to avoid it. The it I refer to is change. I think I would be justified in saying that few of us like change in our lives and in our circumstances. We are creatures of habit, liking everything to remain pretty much the same. But change is inevitable in an ever-changing world. The hymn writer of that much-loved hymn, Abide With Me, was right when he penned the words, change and decay in all around I see. And that is simply the case. Change on a national level was to come to Judah in the era of Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah chapter 6 speaks of that change in its opening words. In the year that King Uzziah died, the death of Judah's king ushered in a time of immense change within the nation. A time of political disruption and upheaval unfolded within the country on the death of her monarch. I can only but imagine the shock waves that must have went through the country on the news that Josiah had died, as it was announced from the royal palace. However, another event was to occur in that exact same year that left a deeper impression on the mind of the prophet after the death of an earthly king. Because it was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah goes on to say, "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." This year of seismic change within the nation was the same year that Isaiah the prophet saw the Lord. As I began to consider the details of Isaiah chapter 6, a chapter that recounts great changes within the nation of Judah, the Lord showed a number of things that remained unchanged while everything else around was changing. The interesting thing is that these unchangeable things in the days of Isaiah the prophet still remain unchanged today. And so I want to draw your attention to a number of these unchangeable things in a message I've entitled "Things That Never Change." The first thing that never changes is that heaven's potentate never changes. The word potentate is a Bible term, a Bible word. It makes only one appearance in the whole of Scripture. It's found over there in 1 Timothy in the chapter 6. I want to read a number of verses from that chapter. Paul is corresponding here to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he writes from the verse 13, "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen." Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul calls the Son of God here the blessed and only potentate. The word itself means a prince, a ruler, an officer. It refers to God, who is ruler over all. Now, we know that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that Isaiah saw in the temple in the year that King Uzziah died, because of what John writes in his gospel. Over there in John 12:41, we read these words, "These things saith Elias," or Isaiah, "when he saw his glory and spake of him." John is applying these words in the verse 41, words that obviously refer to the events of Isaiah 6, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Isaiah comes to behold, see, view the glory of Christ in the temple. And what does he see? He sees the Lord. He sees the Lord sitting upon his throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, we're told. You see, while the earth His throne had been vacated by King Uzziah on his death, Isaiah was given a sight of another throne, heaven's throne, that was occupied by an immortal king. It was the sight of heaven's living king that really steadied God's servant, banished his fears and quelled his anxiety in a year of seismic change within the nation. As Isaiah looked away from earth's tottering thrones and fixed his eye on heaven's eternal throne, he was assured that God was still on the throne of the universe, that the scepter of universal government rested easily in the hands of heaven's king, and that from that eternal throne, Christ was continuing to direct and govern all things after the counsel of his own will. If the chorus had been penned, Isaiah may well have sung, as he stood in the temple that day, "God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own." King Uzziah was to be replaced by his son, Jotham. However, the king that Isaiah saw within his vision had no need for a successor. Because 1 Timothy 1:17 puts it like this, he is the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Above the ever-changing world, where kings and queens come and go, where royal households rise and fall, where earthly rulers are invested and then divested of power, there reigns the King of Kings, possessed with perfect wisdom, illimitable power, and immortality. Matthew Henry, that much-loved Bible commentator, wrote concerning this event in Isaiah chapter 6, Judah's king dies, but Judah's God still lives. He goes on to say, from the mortality of great and good men, we should take occasion with the eye of faith to look up to the King eternal, immortal, invisible. This is something for us, I believe, to focus our minds upon in a world that is full of seismic changes, to know that there is a king above all whose rule and reign will never end and who will never have a reason or a cause to vacate his throne. With eyes now focused upon heaven's potentate, let's think a few moments with regard to his reign. Consider the supremacy of his reign. It's seen in the fact that he sits upon a throne that is high and lifted up. God's throne is above all other thrones. This is the thought that is drawn to our attention. His throne transcends all other royal households and dynasties of this world. And what a comfort that is. The God of the Christian rules over heaven and earth, over angels, over monarchs and principalities, over the great and the small of this world, the supremacy of his reign. Note the majesty of his reign. He sits not on a bench, he does not sit on a seat, but he sits upon a throne. All the majesty of it. And from that throne, he directs all things for his glory and for his people's good. We see the durability of his reign because he rules not only presently, but he rules in all that is yet future. And whenever we as mortal beings leave this scene of time and our names are far forgotten, he will still reign until time is no more. And then his reign will be forever and forever. We note the serenity of his reign because he's sitting on the throne, not pacing up and down in front of heaven's throne, perplexed and worried about all that is happening in this world, but rather he's sitting there in serenity. Yes, beneath him is storm and tumult and chaos, but he sits above the storm. He sits above the tumult and the chaos in quiet serenity and unruffled tranquility as the Prince of Peace. We see the sanctity of his reign because the six-winged seraphim, they find themselves around the throne of God crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Holiness governs and regulates the reign of heaven's potentate. And so today, there is a king on a throne, the King eternal, whose reign is marked by supremacy and majesty and durability and serenity and sanctity. And from that throne, no power will be able to dislodge him. Above this ever-changing world, there is a king who changes not. No change Jehovah knows. I change, but he changes not. Oh, to rest your soul on that. Allow it to hush your worries and fears and enter into every day with all of its uncertainty, knowing that God is still on the throne. From this account in Isaiah chapter 6, we see a second thing that never changes. We see that humanity's problem never changes. You see, we get a glimpse of what society was like in the days of Isaiah from a number of verses within the chapter. Note with me the words of the verse number 5. There Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Isaiah lived among a people who were marked by their unclean lips. Lips are indicative of character. Our lips really reveal the true state of our hearts. Our speech is a symbol, an expression of our lives. We could say it like this: our lips act like a window into the soul. And these people had unclean lips. And could I suggest to you that their lips were unclean when it came to their worship of the true and living God? These were a people who were apt to draw nigh to God, draw near to God with their lips, but their hearts were far from God. Isaiah 29:13 says, "Wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." Is it really any different in our generation? Many draw near with their lips, but their hearts are far from God. They simply give lip service in some kind of nominal religious setting, but they know not God. They know not Jesus Christ. They know nothing of God's saving grace in their lives. Look at the verse number 9 and 10. Whenever God commissions Isaiah, he says, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Here were a people who were not going to understand or perceive the truth that God's servant was going to preach to them. They had heavy ears. They had closed eyes to the truth. These were a people who were still in their sin. God speaks of them being converted, their need to be healed, something that had not yet occurred within their lives. And so this was a sinful people who wanted nothing to do with the word of God or the gospel. Has anything changed since Isaiah's day? Nothing. Men and women, boys and girls, are still born in sin. They still find and are fond of their sin. They still love their sin. They still cling to their sin. They still practice their sin. Today, the vast majority of the general public has no time for God's word, no time for God's gospel. Why? Because humanity's problem never changes. All are born under sin. All are born in sin. The problem with humanity is not political in nature. It's not economical in nature. It's not social in nature. It's not psychological in nature. Humanity's problem is spiritual in nature. Mankind has a spiritual problem. Sin has separated man from God, and thus mankind needs to be reconciled to God, and the only way that is possible is through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Don't you be thinking just because the human race has become more educated that humanity's core problem has disappeared. Sin still destroys marriages. Sin still wrecks families. Sin still causes chaos in communities. It still damages the body, still pollutes the mind. It still masters the sinner's will, still darkens the sinner's mind, still plagues the sinner's soul, still hardens the sinner's heart. Sin is still that which defiles, destroys, deludes, and ultimately damns the sinner. Are you still in your sin? Are you still as one who knows not Christ? I would encourage you then to come to the Savior. We have saw and noted together that heaven's potentate never changes. Humanity's problem never changes. Note thirdly and finally, the household of faith's purpose never changes. All who enter the family of God by the new birth belong to the household of faith. It's a term that Paul uses in Galatians 6 verse 10. It is but another way of speaking about joining the family of God. But what is the unchangeable purpose of all who belong to the household of faith? Well, simply, the Christian's purpose is to bring God's message to the human race that is plagued by the problem of sin. Isaiah comes to understand that when God encourages him to go and tell this people, having encouraged and encountered the Lord and having had his lips touched by a live coal from off the altar, Isaiah is now ready to be sent by God to bear his message to the people. Jesus Christ would commission his church to do the exact same after or just prior to his return to heaven. He commissions them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That is our purpose, to spread the gospel. You know, sadly, many Christians have allowed the Great Commission to become the Great Omission. Many of God's people are happy to say, here's my money, here's my spare time, but few are willing to say, here am I. I wonder, would you say today, here am I, send me. Oh, let us not forget the purpose of why God has saved us. It is that we would carry the message, the gospel message, to others. Think of it, the triune God, the us of Isaiah 6 verse 8, wants to send you and I as believers into the world to tell of Jesus, the mighty to save. It is my calling, it is your calling, it is every Christian's calling. And God has no intention of retracting his purpose for his church, because humanity's problem hasn't changed. Our purpose hasn't changed. It is for us to take the gospel to a lost and to a dying world. And so let us all who know savingly Christ, let us go into an ever-changing world with these unchangeable truths burning in our hearts and in our souls. We have in heaven an unchangeable potentate, and he would have us to take his gospel to a world that is lost in sin. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. All things were changing around him, but these three things remained the same. May God take us into the world with his message, the gospel, and see men and women converted. Let's pray. Our Father in God, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for our Savior. We rejoice in the gospel. We thank thee for the work of the Redeemer on the cross. May we carry its message to the lost and dying around us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.